Good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. And he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in your hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. And with a long life, I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. Amen. Amen. Psalm 91 is ultimately a psalm dealing with what happens to those that are able to trust in God. A lot of it really deals with the first verse, and it kind of really, in essence, sums up really the whole chapter. And he says, and he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 27 says, in the day of trouble, he will hide you, in his shelter. I think it says something like that. You know, and this is kind of the idea. And if I could just draw a picture for us to understand this, you know, this idea of the shelter or the hiding or whatnot, you know, is that when we're walking in right relationship with God, when we are living righteously, you know, it's like, you know, if you use a modern picture, it's like an umbrella that just covers us, you know, and just follows us wherever we go. And so even if the deadly pestilence comes, or, you know, 1,000 will fall on your right and 10,000 on your left, it really doesn't matter. And it's almost like this protective shield, you know, that we get to live under, you know, and that's available to every believer, right? That he hides us, every single one, you know, and it's a place of security. It's a place of blessing, you know, it's a place of rest, right? Just to be in kind of, you know, that covering, you know, wherever we go. And so no matter what happens, you know, the great thought that covering is always over us. You know, no matter what storms happen in our life, right, God is covering us. Now, again, that cover is made available to every believer, but not every believer will be covered. And what I mean by that is that he's hiding us in that place, but we can choose to move out of that hiding place. You know, we can, in other words, we can choose to expose ourselves, you know, to all kinds of stuff, you know, that the world has to offer us if we, you know, are lax or careless in our thing. And that's really, like, you know, this whole week, we're, you know, the weekend and this week and this next weekend, and it's all about this inner healing, you know, and deliverance and, you know, evil spirits and all these things. Well, that's precisely what happens, you know. And the psalmist, you know, David really gives us a clue. You know, because what happens is when attack comes or these things, you know, for some reason we have chosen to live outside of, you know, the bounds of that covering. You know, because, you know, as Dr. Kraft talks about, because of unforgiveness, which is a huge one, you know, because of unrepentant sin, you know, habitual unrepentant sin. Now, and this one's really hard to understand and grasp, and, you know, and this is kind of, you know, what you have your questions that you want to ask God when you get to heaven, right? You know, and this is one of them, is that a lot of it deals with sin that really has nothing to do with you, you know, but people in authority over you that have sinned, and now you live under that, you know. We call it generational curses, and, you know, things that we inherit. Obviously, it came from our Adamic nature, you know, from Adam's fall, and it kind of continued on. You know, and so when we're talking about inner healing in these things, what we're talking about is bringing us back into that righteous relationship, or in many ways, just that righteous thinking. You know, that you see how much of our thinking is just so skewed. You know, and the Bible says, you know, so a man thinks, so he is. You know, and so there's something about our thought life and our thought processes that have incredible weight in our lives. And so, really inner healing really is about getting us back into that shelter, right? Back into that hiding place, you know, that we can live under what's the passage? It's really the Isaiah passage, you know, where it really draws a picture. Is it Isaiah? So I'm drawing a blank right now. You know, but it's where we come under. I'm sorry, it's Exodus 33 passage. You know, where we come in, and remember Moses, you know, asked God, Lord, show me your glory. You know, and God says, no, I can't, because if you see me, you'll die. You know, but what Moses does, or what God does, he cuts the rock, right? We talked about this a little while ago. He cuts the rock and he sets Moses inside the cleft of the rock, and then his glory passes by. And we know that that's kind of it's a picture of a type of Christ, right? That Jesus Christ was cut for us. He was broken and beat down for us so that we can hide in that place. And that's exactly, you know, what this shelter, you know, that David is talking about. It's this place of intimacy. You know, a place of comfort and rest, and we are literally covered, you know, in this thing. Now, Psalm 91 to me has really significant meaning in my life. You know, I remember a few days ago where I mentioned, you know, coming to a conclusion that God really knows me. Psalm 91 was actually the first verse that God ever spoke to me about. You know, and some of you may be familiar with the story, but, you know, I was in China. I had just gotten saved. And so I was playing basketball in China with our team in uni. And we're here, and I had a really rough night's sleep. And what had happened was I was sleeping in the room, and I had two roommates, you know, two of my teammates. And I felt like something poking me during the night. It was just really weird, you know, and but I was in a mosquito net, so I don't know what it wasn't a mosquito, but I thought it was. And so I'd end up just swatting myself, and I woke up. And right when I woke up, you know, I look over to my roommate, you know, and my friend Angel, who's really still a good friend to this day, he looks over to me, and he's sweating, you know. I mean, he's just sweating, right? And I was, you know, kind of like half asleep and kind of, hey, what's up, man? You know, and he goes, oh, you know, there's, and, you know, he was sweating, and he was speaking in tongues, which was very new to me. Like, I didn't know what was going on, right? And I could hear him go, you know, all kinds of stuff. And so I look over and I says, what's wrong, man? And he said, oh, you know, we're being attacked by an evil spirit tonight. You know, and I was like, what? And he says, and the word he says is, and I've been praying for you because the Lord told me that he's attacking you. You know, and I just kind of rolled over and said, shut up, man. Go to sleep, right? And stuff. But I woke up in the morning, and you know, like, so you wake up and you just get a sense, like, wow, like someone was in my room, you know, or like something happened last night. I don't know what happened. And I woke up like that, and I was thinking, yeah, this is really weird. I feel like weird, you know, it's like funky in this room. And so I'm talking to my friends, and they're all very mature believers. You know, I'm the baby Christian in the group. And my other roommate, which, I mean, even to this day, I consider just a huge knucklehead. I mean, this guy is just, you know, he's just a buffoon, right? And the night before, he said that God spoke to him and gave him a verse, right? And he read the verse, and it seemed so appropriate, you know? It's kind of like, whoa, actually, it seemed like maybe God wrote it, like, right on the spot. But obviously, he wrote it thousands of years ago. And so this, I literally, I kid you not, this is what I did. I opened up the Bible, and the other guys, well, I can't say his name, so this is online, so. But I said, Lord, you spoke to so-and-so, right? Which, and I didn't say it out loud, but I said, which I consider the guy to be an idiot, but you spoke to so-and-so, you know, God, surely you can speak to me, you know? And I literally opened up the book, and I didn't do one of these things, you know? But I opened it up, and just Psalm 91, just it was just like leapt off the page. And I started reading it, and I was like, wow, this is really interesting, because the whole psalm is about protection, right? You know, and then he goes on and says, you'll not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day. And it was like this poking, you know, thing that I was feeling, right? You know, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. And my bed was literally a tent with this mosquito net coming over. Now I know you're thinking, Pastor Sam, you're getting ridiculous now, but just go with me, right? And then he says he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And I started reading this thing, and I was like, man, this is like last night, you know, and God was protecting us. I mean, this is just crazy, you know. And so, you know, this is one of my favorite verses, you know, favorite chapters in the book of Psalm. And so I'm going through this whole thing. We're talking about this, you know, and then I turned to my two roommates and I said, hey, you know what? I think God spoke to me. You know, I think God, you know, really spoke to me. And so I share with them the verse. And yeah, it was crazy. Like, you know, all these things are like, wow, you know, this is great, and praise God kind of thing. And I'm like, well, this is pretty cool. But sure enough, because, you know, the way my brain thinks, I kid you not, after breakfast, right? So that happened early in the morning. After breakfast, I'm already writing it off. I'm like, oh, this is a coincidence. You know, there's no way. I mean, God doesn't speak to guys like me. You know, I'm just, you know, I barely just got saved. You know, I'm not a prophet. You know, what do I think I am, Moses or something? Right, and so I go through this whole dialogue, and then after lunch now, so I've been doubting for like 3 hours now, then we have lunch, and then there was also a women's basketball team there, and one of the guys that was on the team was talking to one of the girls, and he was kind of like the spiritual leader of the group, you know. I mean, he was really a bad basketball player, so I don't know why he was there. But he was, I realized, right, he came for a spiritual reason, so he came, and he goes, hey, I heard God spoke to you. And I was like, yeah. But I said, but, you know, it's like, I don't think so. It's just coincidence, you know, just lucky guess, you know, kind of thing. And he goes, no, really, God really spoke to you. And I was like, why is that? And he said, because last night in the girls' room, that they had a demonic attack that night as well. You know, and one of the girls woke up in the morning, and God gave her a verse. And I was like, really? And he goes, you know what verse it was? I was like, no. He goes, it was Psalm 91, right? And I almost fainted. You know, I was like, you know, and now I have to deal with something, right? Either God speaks to his people or he doesn't, you know? And so I went back and you know, as I shared the other day, I realized going back, I said, God, you know what? You really know me. I mean, you know exactly how I think. You know, you know exactly what makes me tick. And not only do you know exactly who I am, you still love me and you still accept me, you know? Because, you know, I mean, you know, one of the fears, especially like in inner healing, you know, like you should, so during this training week, now people are doing public ministry. And so all their garbage is coming out. But it's actually quite beautiful, you know, if you ever, I mean, you should always volunteer for public ministry, my personal opinion, because you have an army of people praying for you, right, which you don't get on a private session, but that's a whole other thing. And so you look at people's faces. I walked in a few people, hey, would you like to volunteer tomorrow? And you should see the look on their face, sheer terror. And they're trying to hide it, right, just trying to be like all cool, but you could tell like their eyes are like... You know, I mean, just because it's this idea like, well, if people really know my crap, they're not going to love me or they're not going to accept me, right? I mean, that's a huge thing, right? If I really expose myself, you know, then, you know, I mean, not only will I be embarrassed or ashamed and these kind of things, but people won't really love me. They won't accept me. They'll think I'm, you know, da da da, this or that, right? You know, and this is why I say, thank God that Jesus Christ knows us better than we know ourselves, right? That he understands us, he knows where we're coming from, you know, and he loves us anyway, and he accepts us even more, you know. And I think, even through this week, I think I understand a little bit more of what that's like, you know. Well, we had a session last night. I'm not going to say the person's name, you know, but we're in that session. And, you know, just sharing, you know, like going through the whole inner healing process and all these things. I tell you, man, I think I love that person more after that session than I did before. And not like I didn't love the person before, right? But I really felt like, you know, as, you know, this person was going through the whole process and, you know, praying and talking about, you know, I was just watching this person and praying for this person through this whole process. I felt like, man, I really love this person more. You know, I have so much more compassion for this person, right? You know, and I think it's a special time as well. But then you think about it, that's what God does, right? You know, He looks upon our sins and our grief and our pain and our junk and all that stuff. And I think He loves us more. You know, I mean, I can only allude to some scriptures, you know, where He leaves the 99 and goes after the one. And you know what I mean? And, you know, this passage like that. I really think He loves us more. Him who is forgiven little, loves little, forgiven much, loves much. You know, there's something about this kind of interplay, you know, and I came to that conclusion, right? I mean, more so last night, but especially, you know, this would have been June of 2002. I believe that's right. June of 2002, when I was in China playing basketball, you know, and it's this reality of God, you really know me, you know, and you still love me, right? And you probably even love me more now because of my frailty. And I mean, it's such a releasing thing in our lives. But you know, going back to this thing, right, to this text, it's. You know, so thus, because we recognize that God loves us and He accepts us, it makes us want to draw closer even more, you know, to get, you know, really under His arm in some ways, right? You know, the scriptures thematically, you know, one of the major themes in the scriptures is the bride of Christ, right? I mean, it's all throughout Old Testament, New Testament. And if you look at, you know, the first bride, which would be, you know, Eve, remember she was made out of the rib, right? You know, and the whole point of the rib is really that Eve is just really right next to Adam, kind of under his arm. I mean, that's really the whole point, you know, because I mean, what's you know, I mean, if you sit and meditate on that bit, what's with the rib, you know? It's like, I mean, you know, but it's the whole point is it's close to the heart and it's under the arm, you know. And so when you think about the shelter of the Most High and think about the hiding place, you know, I mean, for you, I just want you to picture this as the bride of Christ, right? That you are tucked away under His arm, you know, protected, you know, and loved and cherished, you know. I mean, you're like, you know, you're right there. Have you seen a husband and wife, you know? And you know, that's why you should, I don't know, my personal thing, you should marry taller guys. Let's just, you know, because you don't want to, you know, it's different, right? So you just want to be right there. That has nothing to do with anything, but, you know, and it's this place of protection. It's this place of intimacy and a place of love and comfort, you know, and that's where God wants each of us to be at. That's, you know, this whole aspect. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So let's close our eyes. Who gets to abide in the shadow? Who gets to be under His arm? Well, it's those that trust Him. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. See, there are great rewards to faith. And if you were here yesterday during lunch, Dr. Kraft gave a really good exegesis of the word faith, and I had never really heard this before, but it really makes more sense now. And he talked about faith in the New Testament. Actually, it's not just talking about faith. The word is actually faithfulness. You know, and so it's faith that has action. So it's not just a thought or a concept or an idea. It's actually living it out, right? It's always like that. I mean, that's the whole Bible. You know, and there's rewards for faithfulness. You get to come under that covering of the Lord. That's why also, I mean, another aspect too is, you know, there's another covering, which is a pastoral covering. You know, that's being part of the church and being part of a member of the church. There's an authority, you know, that comes there. Now, that's for another time. We can talk about that. But for you today, if you don't feel like you're under his arms, maybe you feel like you're kind of alone, you know, or you kind of have a sense that maybe you got outside of that covering. He's just a prayer away. You know, the great thing about inner healing, right? I mean, you may have all these issues and all these demons. All you have to do is say, "Lord, forgive me," and boom, it's gone. It's crazy. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. Just renounce and it goes. Right? And so, if you feel like you came out of that covering, I want to encourage you to go back in. Whatever it may be, and start living righteously again. So as Pastor Nate leads us in a song, let's just meditate on that and just speak to Jesus about that.
Darkest star, you are the Lord of all. to reign in me again. So won't you reign in me again. So won't you reign in me again.
Let's pray that every single person at this church would be under the shadow of the Almighty, that they would be under His arms, that they would be in that place of protection and intimacy. And if anyone has come out of that or decided to go a different path or a different way, let's ask God to call them back home, right? To call them back into that place of perfect peace and rest. Pray for yourselves. Let's pray for our community in that way. Let's continue to pray for our training week this week, and pray that the people that are there would really be trained up, and God would really give them a heart, and we just see an army of ministers that will minister throughout the community and then throughout Hong Kong. And let's really pray for this time. Pray that our church would really be free, that God would really use this time to really launch us into this next stage of our development as a church and as a community. And so pray for Dr. Kraft as he teaches tonight, and Judy, and bless them that they have a few sessions today as well. And let's ask God to just really cover them and just cover all the leaders that are there, and that the Lord would really move upon us, and that truly that we would be free. He who the Son sets free should be free indeed. Let's pray for that over our community. Let's pray over our house churches that are meeting tonight. And let's ask God to bless them and really draw near. Let's pray for Kennedy Road and Conduit Road and Pacific Place. And let's ask the Lord. And I know a lot of the leaders are actually in training. And so pray that members in the house church would really step up and lead during these times. And let's just ask for covering and just real grace as we gather together in small communities this week. Let's pray for our fund and our building search, and let's pray that the Lord would really minister to us and encourage us in faith as we really see God work His magic and His grace through us. And let's ask God to really come through, and pray that we would really grab a hold of this vision that God has given to us and really run forward with it, and pray for the funds to come and people just to be so blessed that as cheerful givers, and God would just multiply back to them. And so let's just cover this whole thing to the Lord. And there was kind of a special prayer request that came over the line yesterday. And some of you guys know Rachel. Rachel's aunt actually tried to commit suicide a few days ago. And apparently it was her second time. And she just came out, you know, so she's okay now. She was in a little coma or something, but she's out now. She's awake. And so let's really pray for her. Pray that God would really do something. She's not a believer. You know, and obviously she's very unhappy, you know, about her life. And, you know, let's pray that something supernatural would happen to her, that literally God would just visit her in the hospital, right? That Jesus Christ would just come and reveal Himself. And, you know, and we know the answer. You know, we know that she just needs God. You know, she needs to have an encounter with the living Christ. And everything that she feels like she lacks will come through. And so let's pray for that encounter to happen in her life. And, you know, she's not being satisfied by drugs or life or anything else, and only God can satisfy. And so let's pray for her. This is Rachel's aunt, and let's just cover her right now. Lord, we bless You today, Father God, and we, Lord, continue to pray for Rachel's aunt, and Lord, we pray for others, God, in our community that may be feeling very alone, God, maybe feeling that there's no way out, Lord, that maybe, Lord, contemplating suicide. Lord, we just come against that spirit of death, Lord, and those lies, and we ask You to minister in our community, Father God, and let no one, Lord, fall through the cracks, God, that let every person, Lord, here feel loved and accepted, God, and know, God, that You are real, God, and You are here. And so, Jesus, God, we just pray Your presence, God, would be even more manifest, God, in our lives, Father. Lord, help us to always, Lord, live under that covering, God. Hide us, Lord, in that secret place, always, Lord. And when we are tempted to move away, and when we are tempted to go our own ways and rebel, Lord, I pray by the Spirit, God, that You call us back, Lord, under Your arms, God, close to Your heart. We thank You, Father. Watch over us, Lord, and bless us today, Father God, as we seek to honor You in all that we do. We love You, Jesus. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today, and we'll see you again tomorrow morning.